spoken word, you sing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless Son of God. Your foe, still your love far from me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No wall you, no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow. overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Hallelujah. So thankful for his love, amen. Hallelujah. I am redeemed. been redeemed. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now I don't have to be the old man inside of me, 'cause this day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same. The home that will carry me home. Oh, now I don't have to be that old man inside of me. Sing it tonight. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. I'm so glad that my redemption is not conditional on how I feel. Amen. Because I don't always feel redeemed. I don't always feel saved. But I know that I know that I know that I am redeemed. That I am saved. Praise God, we are not led by our feelings. Amen. We're led by the Spirit of God. The Bible does not say those who are led by their feelings are the sons and children of God. It says those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. We are led by His Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Give God a hand clap of praise.
Hallelujah. Don't you love Jesus? Oh, He's a good God. He is becoming better and better to me all time because I'm understanding just things about Him I never saw and understood before. Glory. Tonight, as we look at what's on my heart, I want you to think about this. You know, your perspective is shaped by your attitude. I think it was Friday evening late in Russellville. There, you could see a double rainbow. And it was so beautiful. Now, the rainbow was on one side, and the little thunderstorm was on the other. And all I could think about was how beautiful the rainbow was, and especially getting to see the double rainbow. But another person, all they could think about was, when is this rain going to stop? But if it hadn't been for the rain, I wouldn't have got to see the double rainbow. Lift your right hand toward heaven, put your left hand on your heart and say, I love the Lord. And I will hear by the Spirit of God. I will not be offended, but I will be challenged. And by the challenge of the Lord, I will grow exponentially. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. While you're turning there, Sister Victoria is going to put some images up here to lay a foundation of what we're going to talk about tonight. I want to talk about ministering Messiah's mercy. And if you'd have been in Sunday school class this morning, if you was in Sunday school class this morning, you would have seen how it went right along with the message tonight. And actually, Brother Corey said something that I was going to open up with. I thought it was really, really neat. You know, we all want the abundance of God's mercy, but sometimes we don't want to give the abundance of God's mercy. And so to be able to minister, now, this word ministering in the New Testament, it means to be an attendant, to act as a friend that's willing to bow down to help. If we're not careful, we look at ministering as something that the preacher does. That's what the Christian does. Amen? And Messiah simply means God's anointed. Well, God's anointed abides in you. Amen? And so you minister, you become an attendant to other people by the anointing, not by your ability. Ain't you glad? It's all by your ability. And mercy simply means that compassion. And it comes out of the inside of your innermost being. It means to yearn for somebody in a way that you want them to have what Jesus died to give them. That's the mercy of God. And that can only come by the anointing. But there's some things that the devil wants to put in your life, in my life, that would cause us to see people, cause us to see situations in a way that's contrary to what the Lord would have us to see. Now, I want you to pray for me that I can bring this forth in the way the Lord would have without drawing that out, because I've got so much bubbling inside of me, I don't know where to start and where to stop, because this is so important for us as a church body to be able to get ready to do what God is going to have us to do. Amen? I don't want to shortchange the Lord, but I don't want to make y'all hate me either. Amen? So, let's just see how this goes. Before we read our text, I want you to look at this. Tonight, I want you to be opposite of this. I want you to be in focus. And the only way we can be in focus is to let the Lord help us to see what's being said tonight. First and foremost, I'm not calling out anybody. This word starts right here with me, and the Lord's been on my toes heavy about this, because I'm seeing some things that I have been in the wrong about and not even understanding it or knowing it. Okay? Me. And I want to change it by His grace. Amen? All right, we're going to hold right there. Will that mess you up? Luke chapter 6. Let's start. I believe it's verse 36. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Now, we could go to Matthew chapter 7, but Matthew chapter 7 kind of gives you the abbreviated version of this, and we need the full version tonight. Amen? But you can study that in your home study time as a side note, the first six verses of Matthew chapter 7. But Luke chapter 6, verse 36, if you're there, say amen. Jesus, He says, be ye therefore merciful. Mark that down in your mind's eye. Here's the Messiah talking to us about mercy, about ministering mercy. Be ye therefore merciful as, mark that down, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you measure out, what withal it shall be measured to you again. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thy own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote, the splinter, that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, Cast out first the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes. Yes.
You, Father, Lord, let this go forth in our hearts where it needs to be, Lord. Let us hear our minds, receive it in our hearts and our souls, Lord, to become what you want us to be at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. You may be seated. Thank you all so much for honoring the word. Hallelujah. Notice that in this the context of Christ's teaching here, he's in Matthew chapter 7, he's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Here it's the Sermon on the Plain, but it's the same message, worded just a little different, a little more detailed because of the people that he's around. Have you noticed that certain people you can talk to in more detail than others? There are certain people that you can share some things with that just excite you. And then there's other people that you would love to, but because of their attitude that is reflecting their vision, you can't. And so what we want to do is we want to have an attitude of mercy that is empowered by the anointing that is so strong that it melts that off their eyes. It changes the way their heart is in operation to be able to receive a truth that will take them up to a higher level in Christ Jesus that will forever change their life. Amen? Now notice what Jesus said. He said, he's talking to you and I because he's talking to his disciples, and he made this command. This is not a suggestion. He's not asking us. He says, be. Now, you and I, we always talk about when God said, let light
be.
Was it a problem? Come on now, that excites me. That makes me want to run right here because my Lord, my Savior told me, Greg, be merciful. And it's not in my ability. He spoke to each one of you and said, be merciful. It's not in your ability. It's in His anointing that abides in you. You can do what you never thought you could do. I can do what I never thought I could do because it's not us doing it in our ability. It's the Messiah's anointing that wants to minister through us and minister the mercy of God. Now, the mercy of God said, Greg, you deserve everything that you get. You've sowed some bad seed. And those seed are going to make a harvest. But here's what I'm going to do. Instead of you having to go to hell, I'm going to accept the blood of my son. Oh, glory. You can be just as white as he is. And you can have the same standing with me that he has. All you have to do is call on him. That's mercy. That's mercy. Amen. And he doesn't ever bring up those things I've said and done, the attitude that I had, never once mentions it. How quick am I to say, well, Donna, you know what you said and the way you said it. And she goes, I really don't know what you're talking about because you're a moron. You received it wrong. You know? No, but I mean, in reality, because the devil takes words and twists them and makes us receive something that wasn't even said. But the mercy of God takes care of all of that. Amen? Now notice he said, I love this. I can be like my Father. You can be like your Father. Amen? Because he said, be ye therefore merciful as your Father. Now that word as is so simple in the Greek. It means in as much. See, the devil doesn't want you and I to perceive this truth. He doesn't want us to come under this anointing and receive this word, because this word destroys yokes, mindsets, old ways of doing things. As the Father is merciful, now you and I have the ability to give the same mercy. That's power. That's power. We are of our Father. Amen. And the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, as our old colloquial saying is. It's the truth. We've just got to believe it. Now he said, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Now this word merciful, it means to exercise compassion. Now, what's the word exercise mean to you and I? I don't like exercise. That's it. That's the key. We've got to put into practice what Jesus said we could do. We don't worry about what happened yesterday. We can't do a thing about it. We start right now. We start right now. Clean slate. Everything is right. And we say, Lord, you told me to be as my Father because you said it. Not because I said it or not because I could do it in my own, but because you said it. I have an anointing that abides in me. And so I'm going to practice. I'm going to put this exercise mode to my life. And I know that I'm in a work that is going to take all of your being and all of my receiving from you, but because you said it, I can do it. Yes. Amen?
Yes.
Now, he said for this to be put into practice, then we've got to hear him and take heed to it. Because look at the next verse. He said, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now, if you read this, and you read Matthew 7 and 1, and stop there, we get all messed up. Desperately messed up. Because I don't know how many times I've had Matthew 7 and 1 thrown in my face as being a minister. I don't know how many times you, being a Christian, has had Matthew 7 and 1, which is basically the same as this in part, without the detail, thrown in your face because I dare you to judge me. Because they don't want you to challenge them with the light, with the love, with the mercy. Jesus, out of his own mouth, said, men love darkness rather than light, because light, what? It reproves them of their evil deeds. So hold your place right here, and let's turn over and let's see what Jesus said, the way that you are to judge. Because you have a commission to judge. John chapter 7. Verse 24, and we don't have time to get the context, but if you study this out, we're not taking it out of context. John 7:24, are you there? Judge not. Uh-oh, there it is again. But wait a minute. Judge not according to what? The appearance. The appearance is deceiving. How many times have you seen something happened between two individuals, and you can only hear half the conversation, but you could see actions, and all of a sudden, if you wasn't very careful, you took that, what you saw in half that conversation, and you judged it. Jesus said to do it by what? Not by appearance, but righteous judgment. Now, there's only one that's righteous, makes us righteous, Jesus Christ. Judge it by righteous judgment means that you judge it through the mercy of God by the Holy Spirit. So, what we're going to do, we're going to step up into something that we've never stepped in before to this level. Because we're going to take heed to this word. There's going to be an anointing that is going to come upon those who will receive this and walk in it, and you're going to be able to be in a situation where somebody may come up to you and they may say, boy, Brother Donnie, you're a dandy. I tell you what, I really like you. And all of a sudden, the righteous judgment. You're going to know by the discerning of spirits whether that's of God, whether it's of man,
or
of the devil. People will tell you what you want to hear. Somebody who really loves you, they'll tell you what you have to hear. Amen? So here, I operate in judgment. You operate in judgment by the Holy Spirit through the mercy of God. Through the mercy of God. Through this compassion. How hard would it be to go back to the slides? Now, we read the verse and we'll get to it, Lord willing. But look at this. I love this little cartoon. LOL, you sure look stupid with that speck in your eye. It's amazing Willis couldn't see a speck in Andy's eye with that big old beam in his own eye, it says. Of course, they're quoting from, paraphrasing from Luke 6:41 that we just read. But that's how we look to the Lord. When we judge His children by our standard. Well, by golly, I always get to church 30 minutes early, and they're always 5 minutes late. How many times have you heard it? Come on, let's just be real. Or man, I never miss a service, and they just come whenever they want to. And unless the Lord is using, convicting you to help them and to encourage them, what business is it of yours? What business is it of mine? I don't know about you. I got a lot of things to take care of right here that keeps me pretty busy. Now think about this. Now every one of us has had something in our eye. And you think about, I was doing some grinding one time and I got a piece of metal in my eye. And I don't, you know, when that is in your eye, you can't see nothing. So when you got a beam in your eye, not only are you knocking other people around and hurting and hindering them, but you know you can't see nothing or think nothing else. If you get around somebody who's always on somebody about something, ask the Lord how you can pray for them about that, because that's probably their problem. Come on now, we're just being honest. There's one preacher that I used to listen to all the time, and all he preached on was pornography, pornography, pornography. And I thought, my goodness. His bunch, they must have, you know, a bad problem. Come to find out, I found out where the problem was. Now you know where my problem is, because you know what I preach on a lot. We've got to be in a place, in a position, though, where we can help people. We can't help people if we're beating them with the own thing that is hindering us and limiting us. Amen? All right, Sister Tori. Now, I want you to look at this verse. Now, don't turn your Bible to it yet. Just wait just a minute. This is what a plank in your eye, this is what it does to you, to the Word of God. Okay? When you've got a beam or a plank in your eye, you can go to a verse of Scripture, and that verse of Scripture, you can make it say anything. Yeah. Now, there's the Amplified Version, the classic version, and you look at that, and there is no God? Well, you and I know that's wrong, because we know He's in here. We can feel Him. He's give us life. He's give us victory. He's give us peace. He's give us joy. All the things. We know that's true. But some people in the world tonight, this is where they're at. They can open up the Bible and they can make the Bible say that there is no God because of that beam, because of that plank. Look at the next slide, though. When we take the beam out, all of a sudden we find the full thing of what the Bible says. The empty-headed fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable deeds. There is none that is good or right. That's what the fool says. Well, you and I, we know we've been made right by Jesus Christ. I'm sorry if they haven't, but they can. Amen? That's what the plank does. That's what the beam does. It causes people not to be able to see what God's truly seeing. What is God saying to people today? He's saying, come unto me through Jesus. That's what he's saying. The day is late. Time is short, but it's not too late. Come unto me. I'm going to show you something that's better than greater and brighter than anything this world has to offer. That's what he's saying. The beam causes people not to be able to see the word, but the beam also causes people not to be able to see people as they should. Look at this. And I put a little girl because you and I, we are all the children of God. Now think about this. Here's what somebody would say if somebody was had their head down and not looking at them. See, there's shy people in my family. I'm shy, and that's why this is such a stretch. Tori's shy, but there's been a lot of people think because of that shyness. Donna, in school, they considered her stuck up because she was quiet. Yeah, she was quiet then. That's not righteous judgment. That's judging according to appearance. So here's somebody that is looking at a child of God and they're saying, they're always looking down on me. How many times you get around your family that's lost? And because of that light that's in you, because of that love that's in you, that spirit that's in you, they get under conviction. And when they get under conviction, they start biting and snapping at you. They don't realize it's the God in you that is doing that to them. They think it's you. But let's see, if they could get the beam out because you love them, look what happens. All of a sudden we see that they're not being looked down upon. They're being prayed for. They're being considered continually because you and I are bombarding heaven for them. I've got family that will not talk to me. That's not going to keep me from bombarding heaven on their behalf. Amen? We got people in our lives that we love dearly and they don't understand. They're making wrong choices. But we don't let that wrong choices stop us from praying for them. We don't let those wrong choices keep you and I from being an influence in their life at any given opportunity. Amen? Amen? All right. So what we want to do tonight, we want to recognize and realize that God wants to do an amazing thing in our life. But we've got to be willing to let go of everything that we have. Amen? Brother Donnie, would you come help me? Now, I didn't have time, but I was going to go through a deal about M&Ms. You know, ministering mercy, M&Ms. But I was going to go through a deal about how the Mars company, how they started M&Ms. And so I just admonish you to Google it. It's really interesting. How one man got an idea to make these, and when he died at the age of 95, he was worth $4 billion from coming up with the idea of M&Ms. But I want to use this for an example. This is what we do. We call unto God who has all the mercy, the Messiah mercy, the M&Ms we need. Amen? We call out to him, and he abundantly pours it out in our hand. That's the kind of God he is. But then all of a sudden, after a period of time, if we're not careful, our attitude changes. And the same mercy that we received, we're not willing to give out. And if we're not careful, all we want to do is to give out what we got left over. God's give us all of this. There's one M&M in here. I'll forgive one time. I'll look over this one time. Jesus said 70 times 7 on the same thing each day. Who are we? Who are we? Thank you, Brother Donnie. Jesus said, judge not, condemn not, but forgive. We're in John 7. Let's go to over, I think it's John 8. You know this story very well. Here's the lady that is taken in adultery, the Bible says. Can I take just a moment? Jesus, verse number 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst. Now think about this. Jesus is trying to teach the people. The devil cannot stand when the word's being taught, and he'll do anything and everything to disrupt it. So here the word is going forth, and they bring in a situation to undermine Christ's authority. Amen. That's what this is all about. And they say unto him, Master, they don't mean that. When you and I say Master, we mean it. Amen? They don't mean that. This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But since you're here teaching, what do you say? First thing I want to ask them is, where's the man? You brought the woman. I want you to bring the man. We've got scripture for both. You hypocrite. Come on now. They say there's hypocrites in the church. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, and he wrote on the ground as he heard them not. Now, I want you to keep this in your mind. He stooped down on the ground, and he wrote in the ground. So he's creating a hole in the ground. Would you say he was creating an impression in the ground? Because if you're going to write in the ground, you're making an impression. You're digging a hole. Now, this is important, so hold that in your mind. So when they continued asking him, they just kept on. They was berating him. He lifted himself up and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. Now, let's think about this. Here's a group of people that's being taught the Word of God. I come out of the Illinois Bayou. Me and Papa Raymond were walking the creek one day. I've had that for 35 years. Looks like it. Think about that, Brother Donnie. Every man there had one of these in his hand. Now, what would that do if you hit me between the eyes? Can you imagine the fear in this lady's heart? There's people out there doing things that they don't want to do. And they're caught up in fear. They know. They know it's wrong. They can't help it. There's a spirit behind it. There's a bondage. There's an addiction. There's a working of the enemy that's behind it. And we need to be merciful. We need to have compassion. We know what the Word says about sin, but we need to tell them the answer, the cure for it. Amen? Death, yes, it's going to come. But Jesus will bring life if we'll give them Jesus. Amen? We want to minister the Messiah's mercy. Now, I want you to see this in your mind's eye. I want you to see Jesus there and all of these men having these stones and Him writing, making that impression, that hole in the ground, okay? Now, we're going to leave that right there, and we're going to go back to our text. Go back to Luke chapter 6. Now, notice this. Jesus said, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Verse 37, condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. So hold that in your mind and drop down here and read with me verse 39. Because if you and I are seeing things wrong because we've got a beam, because we've got a speck in our eye, and God will deal with the speck. The speck, He'll give you grace and mercy. The beam is a whole nother matter, amen? But now notice what Jesus says. And He spake a parable unto them. Jesus said, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Won't they both fall into the ditch? Now stay with me. Hold your mind here. Hold your place here. Let's understand what Jesus is saying, because this is important. Now, I want you to see the analogy of what He's talking about, how funny it would be for a blind person to be leading another blind person. I don't mean funny and comical. I mean funny and it doesn't make sense. Why would you and I want to follow somebody who had a beam in their eye? Okay? And I want you, as you're holding that in your mind, you've got to see Jesus stooping down, riding in the ground to be able to understand this. Go with me to 2 Kings. Now, we're going somewhere, but I know this is a little, but we've got to get this. We've got to get this in our heart. 2 Kings, I believe it's chapter 18. Okay, 2 Kings 18, I'm going to read verse 31, then we'll talk about this just for a minute. 2 Kings 18, 31. Look what the Word of God says. Hearken not to Hezekiah. Now, this is what the enemy is saying to all of God's people, okay? This is when the king of Assyria is wanting to come and take the kingdom away from Hezekiah and wanting to bring God's people into bondage, all right? And here's what the enemy is saying. Hearken not to Hezekiah. Don't listen to God's anointed. How many times have we heard that? Christ is the anointed one. We need to listen to Him. Amen? Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria. Okay, Assyria, every time you read it, it's a type of the devil. Well, my king, your king, has done defeated this king. So why would I want to listen to him? Amen? Are we all together? Some of you look bored. You're not bored, are you? This is going to get good. Stay with me. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present. Oh, there's a high cost for low living. Make an agreement with me and come out to me. Then eat ye every man of his own vine and every one of his own fig tree. Boy, don't that sound like in the garden? Hey, did not God say? Now notice what it says. Mark this down in your Bible, the last part of the verse. And drank ye every one the waters of his own cistern. Boy, don't that sound good? Don't that sound good? I just reject God's anointed. I'm going to have my own vineyard, my own place to stay, and I'm going to drink my own cistern. I'm going to get to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Sounds good, don't it? Hold your place there and go with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. Let's see what God thinks about these cisterns. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13 or so. This is what God says, Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. What have they done? And hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Okay. So let's understand. We know that the devil has a counterfeit to everything that God has for us that's real. And we know the scripture, John 7, 37, 38, 39. In the last day of the great feast, Jesus Christ stood up and he shouted, he screamed. He was very exuberant and he said, if any man, any woman, any boy, any girl thirst, let him do what? Come and drink. And out of your belly, my belly, shall flow rivers, plural, of living water. Why would I want a cistern when I can have a river, an artesian well? Come on now. Now, how does that tie in with everything else? It ties in this form, this fashion. In John chapter 8 there, where we were reading, Jesus knelt down and he wrote in the ground. You come from the ground. I come from the ground. Here's what we do when we do like these men did. When we judge by appearance and not by righteous judgment. We dig a hole. We dig a cistern. And whatever is in that cistern, that's what we got to drink of. So Jesus leaned down and he wrote scripture. He penetrated the ground and he dug a hole with scripture that brought judgment on them. That's why he said, you are without sin, cast the first stone. Now just imagine, I'm standing there and I've got hatred in my heart. I've got covetousness in my heart. I've got idols in my life. And here Jesus penetrates. He digs into my cistern with his finger and he writes the very sin in my life. And I'm sitting there, or I'm standing there, and I'm waiting. Oh, man, I'm ready to throw this stone. And I look down. Day before yesterday, I bowed down to... One by one, they dropped their stone and they turned away. We got a world tonight that is mad, mad, mad. They are mad at everybody and everything. They're against everything because they're in a place of what? There's a beam in their eye. There is a ought in their heart about everybody and everything. And so what you and I have got to do, we've got to come to the place that we rise above all of that by the anointing. And we learn how to minister Messiah anointing. That anointing that what? That gives them mercy. By mercy. By the goodness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, down about verse number 2, says that our God is the Father of mercies. Mercies. Remember, I can be merciful because I'm of my Father. You can be merciful. Being merciful. So the Father of mercies, plural, is my Father, is your Father. And we can be merciful because it also says that he then is the Father of mercies, but he's the God, how, Sister Debbie, he's the God of all comfort. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
So what we want to do is, we want the Lord to show us every stone that we've picked up. Reveal it to us. Show it to us. And if he'll show us the stone, if he'll show you what's in your hand, he'll show you what's in your heart. And what's in your heart is what's affecting your vision. That's the source of the being. That's the source that you and I can get taken out of our life. And it's okay to have had a beam. Because you know what? If you haven't had something, you can't help somebody else in the proficient way that you could. But because you've had a situation, you've had a struggle, you've had a problem. Because I've had a situation, I've had a struggle, I've had a problem. We can help. We know what they feel like. We know where they're at. We know what they're dealing with. We know what's going on. And we can be in that place to change everything. All right, quickly. The reason why that we've got to do this, if we don't do this, we're going to be in sin. And we're going to be responsible for people being in judgment. The Word tells us that. Go with me to James chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 6. That's right, Brother Donnie. It's a serious thing. It's a very serious thing. James chapter 5, look at the last two verses. James chapter 5, verse 19. You there? Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. Now, every one of us, we know people tonight who used to have a relationship with Jesus, and they don't. But because you are like your Father, you're as merciful as He is mercy. Because you have been converted and that seed is in you, you in turn can be used by the Lord to convert somebody else. Amen? Notice what it says, verse 20. Let him know. You got to know this. This is the importance. Let him or her know, no gender intended, that he or she which converteth the sinner from the error of his or her way shall save a soul from death. Amen. Yes. What death are we talking about? The second death. Jesus said, don't fear man which can kill body. But rather fear him who is able to kill body and soul in hell. Our sister said it. The eternal lake of fire. Eternal, folks, is forever, ever, and ever. Let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and notice this, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Oh, my. Think about it. Because you give them mercy and you introduce them to mercy. See, there's people in the world, they've never met mercy. They've never met it. All they've met is somebody who has stubbed their toe, who shut the door in their face, who has judged them and told them what they did wrong and what they couldn't do, but didn't tell them who they could do things through. Amen? And that one that loves them so much that gave his life, he said that love would cover a multitude of sins. Put John 3:17 up there, would you? John 3:17. We all quote John 3:16, but what about John 3:17? Jesus, remember, he said, judge not, condemn not, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world doesn't need to, we don't need to tell them, boy, you sure don't need to be doing that. That's not going to help anything at all. We need to tell them about a God who can help them be what they're born to be. See, they're looking for it. They're just looking in the wrong places like you and I did. But when we minister Messiah mercy, we recognize and we tell them, listen, Jesus ain't here to condemn you. He's here to save you. And he wants you to come just like you are. You bring everything that you've got. You bring it. And if any, and you tell him, hey, come to my church. Bring what you got. And as long as you're willing to let Jesus work with you, the people will work with you. Amen? That's the whole key. Now, why do we have to do this? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. No. Yeah. Verse number one. Brethren, if a man, no gender intended, once again, if a man be overtaken in a fault, which are spiritual, say that's me, restore. You have the ability to be used by the Lord to bring restoration. See, the devil wants to tell us, it really doesn't matter what you do or don't do. Just be saved. See, the devil's content. He doesn't want you to be saved, but he'll let you be saved and not know who you are and what you can do. But I want me to know what we can do. Amen? He said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Boy, that's powerful. Look what he says, though. Here's the law. Verse 2. Bear you one another's burdens, and so to fulfill the law of Christ. Because Jesus said, all men shall know that you are my disciples by love. By love, all. So the love of God will move you. The love of God will move me. Amen. All right. I will close with this. Let's go back to 2 Kings 18. I don't want to leave you hanging on that. And we'll tie this thing together. Now remember what we read about drinking out of your own cistern, but we're going to jump up and we're going to start reading in verse 28, 2 Kings 18:28. Then Rabshakeh, and this sounds like a name, but it's really a title. It's a title for the Assyrian cupbearer. He was the cupbearer of the king. He was the closest person to the king. But remember, the Assyrian king is a type of the devil. So we understand this is the chief principality. This is the chief imp of the enemy, okay, that's talking. He stood and he cried with a loud voice. Now mark this down in your Bible where you'll have it. He stood in a crowd in a loud voice in a language they couldn't understand. The devil wants to talk Bible to you. I don't know how many times, and you could second witness it with me, that you've talked to people and the devil has gave them a scripture and they're going by that scripture, but it's completely out of context. I mean, Donna and I counseling with somebody, and they said that they didn't pray in tongues anymore because the Lord told them not to. And they meant it with all their heart. With all their heart. The devil don't play fair. And he takes what you don't know and I don't know, and he takes young Christians and he messes with them. And we got to stand in the gap and fulfill Christ's law. Amen? We've got to put ourselves in their place, in their position. So he's talking in the Jews' language, speaking, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. That's what the devil does. He takes the word of God and he puts a twist on it. Amen? Just like in the garden. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for you shall not be able to. He shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. See, that's what they're saying. They're trying to get a shortcut away from Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. Hezekiah was God's anointed in this place. Jesus is God's anointed. And this is the Old Testament type to help us to see that. So what I want you to see is that when you and I get an odd in our heart, or we get a judgment against somebody in our heart, we do what Jesus said not to do, that we dig our own hole. And when we dig our own hole, that cistern, every time we do it, we get a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper. And when we do that, we get farther away from the Spirit, because the closer you get to the clay, the dirt, the soil, the flesh, the carnal man, the Father, you are away, the Father, I am away from the Lord. Amen? And so the devil wants to get you deep enough, wants to get me deep enough, he can bury us. That's his plan. And so we got to see that everything is significant, but God has a word for us that will bring us out of that. He has a word for us that will cause us to put the stone down. He's got a word for us that will bring the beam out of our eye, that will take the speck out of our eye. Go back to Luke 6 just for a second. Let's That's 5. Okay. I knew it wasn't making sense. So, still 5. Notice what Jesus said. He said in verse number 40, I got to conclude this. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now, I don't know about you, but I would read that, immediately the devil would get on me and he'd say, boy, you lack in this area and that area and this way and that way. That's not what this is saying at all. This word right here where Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. This word perfect means that you are thoroughly completed. You're thoroughly furnished. Let me tell you how this word is used in Greek medical books. In Greek medical books, this word would be as if Brother Donnie went and he popped my elbow back in place. Do we understand what we're talking about now? It means alignment. Come on, out of joint. You ever had your nose out of joint?
Yeah.
Jesus will put you back in place. Amen?
Yeah.
The word also was used. Remember when Jesus is walking down the shore of Galilee and he looks over and he sees Peter and Andrew mending their nets? It's the word for mending. Making something useful. I'm as useful, you're as useful as Jesus, when we become as Him. And it's by the anointing. It's by the anointing. It's simply by doing what He said. One last verse. I know I said that, but I promise. Luke 6:46, out of the mouth of Jesus. We've got to do what Jesus says. Luke 6:46. Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Just do it. You say, well, I'm afraid to. I am too. I'm afraid every time that I open my mouth to somebody that it needs ministering to in the natural. But in the spiritual, I've got to know that God sent me. You've got to know that God sent you. Your every day of your life is ordered, your steps, because you're a blood-bought person. You're a righteous man, a righteous woman. And the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So everywhere you go, even paying for your gas, whatever it might be, there's an ordering there. There's a divine commitment. I used to never could see that. I thought I had to feel doodads and it had to be something. But I was running from what the Word said. But I need to do what the Word said. Jesus is Lord, amen? And then when I call Him Lord, when you call Him Lord, that means He is supreme in authority. If He's supreme in authority, that means He has the last say, amen? Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to believe with me tonight that when we come to this altar, that God is going to perform a cataract surgery. Spiritual cataracts. That In other words, that you and I, when we respond to this word, there's going to be an anointing come upon us, and the very scales are going to fall off our eyes. Now, you say, well, that's just ridiculous. What happened to Saul on the road to Damascus? He didn't know he had scales. He didn't know that spiritually he was blind until physically he became blind. Amen? And then God done what? God sent Ananias, somebody like you and me, a lay person, to lay hands on him and scales off his eyes. And we have 2/3 of the New Testament tonight because of that. Amen? So if you will believe that, and I believe that, and you'll come tonight, God's going to take your vision to a new level. You say, well, I don't have a beam in my eye. Maybe not. But if there's a speck, it's hard to see when there's a speck in your eye. Your eye's watering. You're blinking. You can't concentrate on nobody else. I'm serious. When I had that piece of steel in my eye, all I could think about was that steel. I couldn't think about Jesus. I couldn't think about anybody else. All I was thinking about was the piece of steel. That's the speck. You see where we're going tonight? Jesus said, think on me. Because the mind, Isaiah 26:3, the mind that is stayed upon me, upon the Lord, is kept in perfect peace. We're talking about a new level to be able to minister to a new group of people. Hallelujah. Pray with me. Pray in your own way. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we honor you, we worship you. We thank you for the power of your word tonight. Your word, we realize, is anointed abundantly and perfectly. But we ask that as we receive this word, that your anointing will, that is in us, that your anointing will come upon us, and they will come together, and scales will fall off our eyes. Anything that we have a beam about, anything that we might have a speck about, anything that we're not seeing eye to eye with each other, eye to eye with you, eye to eye with your plan, let that anointing break that off and help us, Lord, to minister that messianic mercy because you gave it unto us. Oh, let it be. Let tonight be another night of preparation for what you're going to have us to do in this last day's revival. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, expecting. Would you come? Would you come and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to respond to this, and I believe that you're going to touch me beyond a doubt. Hallelujah. I'm coming. I'm not ashamed to tell you. I've got some specks in my eye about things that people have done and said that have hurt and hindered and limited me. And I've not been able to give them the compassion that I needed. But God's going to take care of it. Amen. I've got some beams. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm confessing my faults. God said if I confess it, I'd be healed. Amen. I want the healing of the Lord in the fullness that he'd have for me. I want to see things through the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.